Do you eat, sleep, and breathe golf? Do you love to explore? And most importantly, do you just want to have some fun? Well, then welcome to Talking Golf Getaways with Mitch and Darren. Now here's the guy with all the questions, Mitch Lawrence, and the guy with all the answers, Darren Bunch.
Hello and welcome to Talking Golf Getaways. And at this point, we are in one of our favorite times of the year, our end of year, in this case, three-part series about some places and things and golf and food and places we've stayed. All three of these episodes, some of our favorite experiences of 2018. Thanks for finding us out there in Cyberland on iTunes, Audioboom, of course, on the Golf News Net platform at golfnewsnet.com. Although in the coming weeks, we are going to be announcing, and this is pretty exciting for us and hopefully for you too, a brand new home as we make plans to launch a sister site dedicated entirely to golf travel. So watch out for that exciting news. I'm Mitch Lawrence in Myrtle Beach. He's Darren Bunch out in California. You can find him at Getaways Golf on Twitter and at Golf Getaways on Instagram. You can find me at Mitch Lawrence, L-A-U-R-A-N-C-E, on pretty much all of the social media everywhere. Darren, we talked about food, and under the heading of the biggest understatement ever made in the history of podcasts, we talked about food. So much food.
Yes.
Yeah. I said it, and I'm just kind of reliving it and going, I'm still full.
It was, I think what you would call prolific, that podcast that, in our discussion of all the things that we have eaten, and mostly when I say we, I mean me.
Yes, correct.
Ate in 2018, and it was impressive. And anybody who sat through it, I think we should give them a prize.
Well, I think you should send them some kind of meal. Find one of those food services and just send it to them.
I'm going to send a nice ice cream sandwich to everyone who listened to all 90 minutes of the food
podcast. There you go. A Diablo. Here's your Diablo burger. All right, so what's next? This is our second of the three parts year in review series. In this case, most of the time, although I do have some additions, you're going to get to humble brag about all the epic destinations you visited this year.
Oh, it was a busy, busy year. We're going to talk about the nine coolest places we stayed. Some of them are places you and I have been together. Some of them are places we've been separately. And I don't know. If I'm nice, I might give you a bonus place you stayed at the end of my nine. I don't know. Kind of like a bonus hole in the course. I don't know what I'm going to do.
All right. We'll settle the bet because mine was spectacular. but that's nice of you to let me in somewhere. You did. I have to say, this year for you, and I've known you for many years, but this year for you was off the charts.
Yes.
This was like you didn't want to be home at all for whatever reason. And you just decided that you were gone, pretty much. I would say half the year you were on the road. That's what it felt like, anyway.
It's kind of funny. These past two years have been like that. Have been just a whirlwind of travel. And I think some of it had to do with the idea that I might not be doing this much longer. Eventually I'm hoping to move to the coast of Oregon and work a real job. And, you start thinking about that and you realize what a privilege we have to try to get out and see the world in the job that we do. And I just started taking advantage of opportunities more than I had been. And they took me literally all over the world over the last 2 years. And I have been incredibly blessed and fortunate and, hoping we do some more of that in 2019, because my job in Oregon is still on the horizon, as they say, but I do not know when I will reach that horizon, Mitch.
All right. Well, luckily we have all these things to do while we're looking at the horizon. So before we do that, let's quickly mention our great sponsor, 2under.com, the number 2, UNDR.com. We've talked about it. We talk about it on every show. I just got, and made you incredibly jealous, a big pile of 2under stuff. As a Christmas gift, and I can't. We have talked, and we started talking about it because of the underwear and the amazing underwear, the Joey Pouch, asset management, all those things we've talked about, which are absolutely true. But they have expanded and are expanding as they move into 2019. And the stuff that I got, the loungewear, the kind of sweatsuit pants and top, the t-shirts, socks, they are coming out with some stuff that is truly mind-boggling to go with our favorite underwear. So heartily recommend you check them out. And of course, Darren, we got a promo code for them to get 20% off.
Well, I got to tell you, man, I saw that picture when you sent it to me, and I thought, you are a big pile of two under. That's what you are.
You stopped at two? All right, so I still have some room to go. Still, there's a lot of other numbers I can get to.
I still can't believe it, you know, looking at it, thinking, oh, man, I need to up my two under game. Don't forget, though, you can up your two under game as well. Use the promo code GNN20 to get 20% off your next purchase of two under apparel at two under, that's the number two, UNDR.com, just like me and Mitch do, although not in this case for Mitch.
Yeah. Yes, I did. Darren didn't. But he will, trust me. All right, let's get started. A couple of our favorite places to stay. And I love starting off with these two places because they mean a lot to both of us. The first one, the Stewart Cabin, we have experienced together. And you went back and got a chance to stay again with our friend Joe Sass and a foursome. And obviously, we both of us can't say enough about the Stewart Cabin and how unbelievable it is.
Oh, man, it's... Quite simply, it's in the top five. It may even be number one of our favorite places to stay. When you're looking for a four-person buddies trip, I went back this year with Joe Sass, like you said, and two Tobacco Road newbies, his brother and a friend of ours. And the experience just keeps getting better and better. I mean, Mark and the gang there, they keep learning and learning from new people coming and making suggestions. And Tobacco Road as a whole just continues to get better. They've got the El Camino 9-hole late afternoon where you play the all par 3 routing of the front nine. Tobacco Road is celebrating its 20th anniversary with brand new logo gear. There's just something magical though about that cabin. You know, putting under the lights late at night on the 14th green, you can hike up the hill to hit tee shots by the light of your cell phone. You can play cards. You can hang out and watch sports both inside and out on one of the porches. You know, for four golfing friends who are just comfortable in a house together without any doors, except for the bathrooms, obviously, this might be golfing nirvana. You know, we've had four buddies in it. We've had me, you, Joe, and your lovely wife, Ava, in there. It's a perfect place. And I still find on social media when I mention it, there are tons of people out there who don't realize they've been to Tobacco Road. They love it. They love the 14th hole. They still don't realize that you can rent it. So, you know, it's a perfect place to go and, you know, kind of center your Pinehurst vacation if you're going to explore the Sandhills.
Yeah, and I think that's a great point. I really do. Obviously, you can stay downtown in Pinehurst in the Village, great hotels, and you're right there. But if you're looking for a little bit different experience, and you said that Mark Stewart, and they are one of the things that I love about Mark and the team is they are open to trying all kinds of things. They had a thing during the summer where they had a camp out
right
possibility, and people stayed in tents in the woods right by the driving range. And they're just doing all kinds of things to make it the kind of place that you want to hang. And once you get there, you don't want to leave. So that's the truth. All right. So the Stewart Cabin at Tobacco Road, that's first on our list of nine. Let's go back to...
And you can check out episode 81 if you want to go back. You want to learn more about the Stewart Cabin. We did a live episode with the four of us, me, you, Joe, and Ava. Check out episode 81 to hear all about our experience there that we record. We recorded literally right there in the little dining room.
And according to our great friend Ryan Ballingy, our partner at Golf Newsnet, the Stewart Cabin episode was the most downloaded episode of Talking Golf Getaways last year.
Wow.
So obviously people have listened to it. We hope if you haven't heard it, you'll go back to episode 81 and do that. All right, let's move up to another of our favorite places of all time, a place that you and I could both go back to 50 times a year and still be happy, and that's up at Cabot. The places to stay, the lodge at Cabot Links, off the charts, perfect, perfect spot. We both have been there a couple times, and then you got to go back and experience it in an incredible way when you made a trip up there by yourself.
Exactly. We, you and I have some iconic pictures. In fact, we have the ultimate iconic picture of you kicking back up on the just above the 18th green at Cabot Cliffs with the sun going down. It's just it's such a beautiful spot that we fell in love with. I, as has been documented well on the food episode, for those of you who listened to the 90-minute food episode, I went on a trip to Canada with Eric Hart and his son Dylan. And before, though, I got over to Ontario to meet up with them, I thought, well, I'm going to be up that close. I got to go back to Cabot. So I went alone, and it certainly didn't disappoint. It never does. Ben Cowandura is a master at creating a golf experience that really just thinks of all the details, everything that golfers want. He gets inside your head because he is a golf traveler. And so this time I stayed in a room that basically opened up right onto the 18th fairway of the Cabot Links course. You know, if you want to hear more about all things Cabot, certainly you can go check out episode 105. We just we had a blast talking about it. We even offered some suggestions that someday might get, you know, added into the mix there to make the golf course experiences even better. Some would argue that's not possible. But but think about this. We're already working on a possible 2019 visit to check out new real estate and rental options that are even closer to the beach than the original Golf Course View villas. You couple that with a new short course that Keith Cutton, when he was recently on the podcast, told us is in the works just up above Cabot Cliffs. And the whole Cabot experience just gets better and better. And, you know, it very well might end up, when all's said and done, Mitch, as being the best golf resort in the world, in my opinion.
Wow, big statement. But I could see it. I mean, I could see it. And the great thing is its location in Inverness, and you've got all of Cape Breton Island around you, and it just adds to it. There's besides Cabot, there's so much to do and so many other things to see, so I agree with that. All right, we love Cabot. We know that. Let's move down and go far, far away from Cabot. We have both been to Cabo down in Mexico. We both played Quivira. We both flipped. Truly one of the great golf experiences you could have. But you went back, and you've been there a couple times, and now you got to hang at Pueblo Bonito Pacifica. And I want to hear about it. I have from you before, and tell me more.
Well, Mitch, it all started with head butler Hector Humbert. And I'm going to be honest with you.
That's not such a hard name.
Well, I'm going to be honest with you. I never actually said his last name until just now. So I don't know if it's Hector Humbert or Hector Humbert. It could be one of either. I really don't know.
Well, Humbert would tend to be the French pronunciation. And since we're in Cabo,
yeah,
I would say it's probably Hector is his first name. I'm thinking it's Humbert.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess we'll find out after this, but he might be the most attentive hotel employee I've ever met. He was there for everything we needed from start to finish, truly. From the cherry mojitos that you get upon arrival and check-in to our departure. In fact, when we had a transportation mix-up, Hector grabbed his own car and drove us to the airport so we wouldn't miss our flight home.
How cool is that?
Now, that is service. So, you know, I fell in love with this guy as much as I'm ever going to fall in love with a guy, I guess is the way to say that. But
thank you.
This, of course, was because we were staying in the insane presidential suite in the new towers at Pacifica, which has views of the pool, the beach, the ocean, the sunset. It's all just down the road from Quivira. It was a two-room suite. I, of course, took the master away from my friend Jason Moyes. There was an oceanfront deck with an outdoor shower.
Okay, wait. I got to stop you. Before you get into more detail about the presidential suite,
yes.
How the heck did you wind up in the presidential suite? That's the obvious question. You are not a president, thank God. They just let anybody in there or what?
I think we know now that pretty much anyone can be a president, don't we?
Yeah, that's
sorry.
True.
Well, here's what happened. I'll just tell you outright. A lot of the things we do in this business, we get comped. I'm not going to lie. It's part of the business. We wouldn't be able to do and go to all the places we do if we had to pay for them all. This was actually a vacation that Jason and I set up that was just kind of a buddy trip. And we pretty much paid for most of it ourselves. And as we were doing that, the price of the suites, the price of the lodging for the time that we wanted to go down there was relatively expensive. We bit the bullet. As part of that is when I reached out to the resort and told them we were coming, I said, hey, we'd love to check out the towers if there's any possibility, if you have availability when we arrive. We didn't want to take revenue out of their pocket. If you have availability when we arrive, we would love to be upgraded so we could check it out and talk about it on the podcast and, write about it in our stories and whatnot. And so when we did arrive, I asked Hector after I had met him, and he said, oh yeah, we've upgraded you. We had some availability. And we did not know where we had been upgraded to. We just knew we were staying in the towers. And
so they literally took you there and you didn't know it.
No, we didn't. We did not know upon arrival that we were going to stay in the presidential suite. We didn't know it until Hector started walking us to the presidential suite. And before that, when I said, hey, was there a chance we were going to get upgraded? Did we get upgraded? He says, yeah, I think you will enjoy your accommodations while you're here.
And when he called you El Presidente, you knew you were in business.
That was one of Jason's favorite things to do, was just go, when they would ask what room you're in, for the purposes of your billing or whatever, he would say, oh, we're just in the presidential suite. It doesn't have a number.
All right. It sounds spectacular. I just had to ask that question. So obviously, the ocean is all around you. You could see that.
Oh, you can see the beach for days. You can see the ocean. Like I said, oceanfront deck, outdoor shower. The views are crazy. Even through the window next to the large bathtub in the very well-designed bathroom that was in the master suite where I was. But if that's not all enough, Mitch, Jason and I, our rooms each had individual balconies divided by a common balcony. And on each of those individual balconies, we had our own jacuzzi hot tub. So the suite comes with actually two jacuzzi tubs plus the one that's in the bathroom that is a jet tub. So it's pure insanity. I don't know how to explain it. It's got living room, dining room, kitchen area. Pueblo Bonito is an all-inclusive property to begin with. So you've got all that stuff that you can take advantage of, the restaurants and all the activities. And then if you're staying in the towers, you also get access to a magnificent oceanfront VIP lounge that has a deck overlooking the beach. You can just hang up there. They roll out sushi and snacks and drinks in the late afternoon, early evening. It's pretty incredible.
It sounds pretty incredible. And I know you're not easily impressed by luxury.
No, that's
so this sounds sick.
Yeah.
This sounds really sick.
That's the thing. You when you do this long enough, you tend to try to find faults with things, or you notice them more readily than maybe most people do. That's not the case here. This is a true premium experience. Obviously, you will pay for it. It is expensive, but I don't know what I'm going to kick off my list of 18 favorite places I've ever stayed, but the presidential suite at Pueblo Bonito Pacifica, it not only does it have to be on the list, it's probably in the top five, and it goes punch for punch with anywhere I've ever stayed in my entire life. It's outstanding, and it's just being up on that perch and just getting to watch everything that's unfolding down below, whether it's what's going on out on the beach or what's going on in the pool area. There was a wedding the evening we were there. Oh, and get this, Mitch. I was sitting in the hot tub under the stars, just watching the stars, relaxing after, because we had played a lot of golf. We went to Diamante first and then came over and played Quivira. And then the fireworks went off for some other event that was going on there on the coast. And so I just sat in the...
Because you hadn't had enough.
Yeah, I sat in the hot tub and watched the fireworks and... had a nice drink and
Mexican milkshake. No doubt.
I don't recall if I had a Mexican milkshake on that trip, but that's a good idea.
Plus, it's like we said, Quivira is right there. And there's other great golf now in Cabo too, but the whole experience sounds unbelievable.
Oh man, I can't recommend it highly enough. And if you can afford the experience, you have to go check it out. You have to go stay in the towers. And if you can afford the presidential suite, wow, forget about it. Go do it.
All right. Pretty high praise. Let's move on. I know the next one on your list wasn't really golf related, but anyone who knows you, like I do, certainly knows that you kind of have a dream. It's kind of tied a little bit to your future Oregon trip, life, whatever you want to call it. But you are infatuated with the concept of tiny houses, which is a whole other discussion. But this place that you're going to tell us about, it's kind of tied to that dream that you have.
Yes. I want to live in a tiny house. My wife and I have gone through a dramatic downsizing, and we just don't need that much. We don't have kids. You know, we're not a huge family. So we're always looking for the best use of space and creative use of space. And so we went up to Montana on this trip last summer on our way to Glacier National Park. And we stayed at a place that we had noticed on a previous trip to Montana called the Isaac Walton Inn. We had driven by and kind of driven in and looked around. We mentioned it on the last podcast for having great bread pudding, griddled French toast, which, again, I can't recommend highly enough. But the real draw at this resort is staying overnight in a train car. And it's just crazy. In addition to the historic lodge, Isaac Walton has renovated these train cars throughout the property that serve as additional rooms. And they're basically like little tiny houses. They are so cool. You can stay in luxury rail cars, locomotives. They have a few cabooses, which is one of the things we stayed in. It's tiny house living, but it has way more space than you'd think. And they've done an amazing job with the interior designs. They've added bathrooms and kitchens. It's got everything you possibly want. You're in there and you're thinking, well, this is just like a really, really cool hotel room with all these kind of unique historic touches. It's very, very cool.
It sounds fabulous.
Yeah.
I mean, I love the idea of these kinds of places. And I'm a big train guy. You know that. It's my favorite form of travel by far. And so if I could get to this place, it really sounds like the kind of place that I would love to get to. And obviously, you did. You've been there. You can guide me.
So the hotel was built next to the railroad yard in I think, 1939, which still doesn't make it as old as our golf clubs, obviously. But there's all kinds of Old West history. The trains come through on a regular basis. So if you love trains, you just eat that up. There are people who have to get used to that. I mean, the trains probably run by 5 or 6 times at least at night while you're trying to sleep. So it can be a little jarring if you're not, if you're not used to that type of thing. But for us, Jill and I, that was part of the fun of it. And Glacier is one of the most scenic national parks I've ever visited. And we're trying to go to all of them now. My wife and I are kind of on a quest to go to all the U.S. national parks. The Going to the Sun Road is worth the price of admission. Just so absolutely beautiful. And it's an amazing experience. And there's a little golf course not far from there that I mentioned in the last episode. There's a little 9-hole golf. It's an 18-hole golf course with kind of interesting views that some residents have brought back to life that's just near the entrance to Glacier. So if you wanted to turn it into a golf getaway, you certainly could.
All right, let's keep moving. You had an amazing trip to Scotland. You stayed in a lot of great places during that September trip. We're going to have some episodes coming up in 2019 that are going to really dig deep and tell people about the details of that trip. But there are two places you really wanted to mention, and that is the Ballathee House and the Carnoustie Golf Hotel. Carnoustie Golf Hotel, I have been to, have not stayed in. But Ballathee House sounds pretty amazing to me.
Yeah, that's a pretty good pronunciation. The Ballathee House.
Thanks.
The Ballathee House, the Ballathee House. Again, it's one of those ones that I can't remember. I asked even, and what I need to start doing when I go to these places is actually record somebody, pronouncing them.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's so many things in Scotland that I just can't seem to pronounce. But, you know, you and I have stayed in some amazing castles and country homes in Scotland on our previous visits. Kincardine Castle would be one that comes to mind. The Balfe House is right up there in providing that Scottish country experience. It's right on the River Tay. You feel like you've gone back in time when you're there. In the main house, each of the rooms is designed and decorated differently. So for the people who come back again and again, and certainly you would do that once you've been there once because it's such a cool experience, it's like getting a whole new experience if you're changing rooms. Because, I mean, they are literally just completely different, designed differently. So very, very cool. They also have a modern riverside building that's kind of more designed for families and groups. So there are a ton of options. Other country house type properties just don't offer. So it's a beautiful place, you know, big lawn, places to walk down by the river. It's just so tranquil. And it's high end. Kind of country hospitality, Scottish country hospitality that sometimes you just don't find other places. You know, we've had the really good fortune to encounter it so often in Scotland on our visits.
I imagine if it's on the river, you had a chance to watch. There was probably a lot of salmon activities.
Exactly, man.
Between fishing and eating.
Yeah, exactly. I woke up in the morning. And, you know, you look out there and there are guys wading out in the river, salmon fishing. Had an exceptional meal that had a salmon appetizer and a lamb entree for dinner in the kind of old world fine dining room. It's a very, very high end restaurant in terms of what they, you know, what they offer. The kind of place that people, not just people staying there, I think kind of a special occasion restaurant for people who live in the area as well. You know, but everything, even though it's proper, you know, it's Scottish proper, it's not stuffy. And of course, you know, close to our hearts, you and my hearts, the hotel is incredibly dog friendly. Even for dinner, they use a special room that's just off the dining room where people have their dogs hanging out with them while they're having dinner. The traditional Scottish breakfasts are amazing. You know, I've got to have my smoked salmon and eggs when I'm in Scotland, and I love it, man. Everything about this place is just spot on, as they would say.
Isn't that great? I love it. But, you know, our hearts are in Scotland, both of us. But there's so many great things about these kinds of places, and they're all over the place, really, if you just take the time to explore. So that's it's an absolutely great trip.
And there's some golf, by the way.
Wait, there's golf in Scotland?
Not the golf you would think of, because I actually played as part of that. I played at Blairgowrie Golf Club. Very nice parkland facility, has 36 holes, plus a par 32 wee course. And since it's in Perth, it's only about an hour's drive to the coast to reach the Carnoustie area and to get over there and you know, really enjoy the links that, you know, mostly we talk about when we're talking about Scotland.
Okay, can I blow your mind?
Blow it.
Ready?
Yes.
I have played Blairgowrie.
Nice.
My first trip to Scotland, very first trip, which was probably in, I want to say 92 or 93.
Yes.
My friend Scott and I were doing one of those. We had set up some courses and we were driving around and, you know, we played Prestwick and we played the old course and we did that kind of stuff. But in the drive-tos between places, we would stop and play a few different, never heard of them kind of courses. And Blairgowrie was one of them. As a matter of fact, the other day I was going through, I have a bag of ball markers.
Yes.
From all over the place. And I found I had 3 Blairgowrie ball markers in that bag. Swear, I'm making this up. So I have played that Parkland course. It's a beauty. And how cool that it was right near where you were staying, at the Balfe House.
There you go.
It's B-A, for those who want to explore, B-A-L-L-A-T-H-I-E is your spelling. All right. Let's move to what is obviously one of the world's great spots. That is Carnoustie. And as I said, I've been there. I've been inside the hotel. I've played golf there. I have never stayed there, but you have. Talk to us.
Well, and it's a completely different experience. And, you know, we say this all the time. That's the beauty of Scotland. You have these kind of quaint experiences when it comes to lodging. You have the big country houses and castles. And Carnoustie Hotel is kind of its own animal. But there is nothing quite like waking up and overlooking the first tee and the 18th green and all the history that comes with that golf course, hearing players tee up their first shots of the day right below your window. Staying at the Carnoustie Golf Hotel is almost a must. And it allows you to then be right there to take advantage of all the golf that is at Carnoustie, because we really only talk about the championship course and its open road of history. But the Burnside has its fun moments as well, and it's basically built right alongside the championship course. And then the Budden course might be the most beautiful because it gets away from the resort a little bit and the town, and much more than the other two. There's just so much history there, though, you know, that if you're making the trip to experience a true Carnoustie experience, you have to stay. I only got to stay there one night, but it was well worth it for that one night. And in the process, I ended up playing all three golf courses and had an absolute blast.
And, you know, often when we talk about trips to Scotland, and we'll be getting into this when we do the Scotland podcast, I know, but probably the biggest tip we can give people is not to just run in and out. The temptation is, I'm going to go to Carnoustie and play the championship course, which is great if you do that. But the real fun of Scotland to us, I know you feel the same way, is to hang a little bit and to be able to explore the other two courses there, which most people don't. They never even pay attention to them. That's one of the things that makes a trip to Scotland great. So,
well, and that's one of the things, you know, throughout. I mean, I remember a night that you and I and Eric Hart had, you know, playing the short course at Nairn.
Right.
And, you know, most people don't even know that golf course is up there, up kind of up on this little rise, you know, above the course that everybody plays. And it was awesome. It's one of our most memorable moments in Scotland. And you find those throughout. There are so many little courses. When we talk about the best places we played this year for the first time, I'm going to talk about a course that I've mentioned before now called Dunaverty that's out on the Kintyre Peninsula that I didn't even, you know, they put it on the itinerary and I was like, all right, I don't even know anything about this. And it's one of my favorite golf experiences ever. I absolutely loved my day out there. So you have to go find that stuff in Scotland because it's there and so many people overlook it because they're just trying to bang the bucket list as opposed to really taking in the full Scotland golf experience.
Agree.
And the one thing, going back to Carnoustie Golf Hotel, if you are going to stay there, if you're going to pay and you're going to make that the cornerstone of your Carnoustie golf experience, do not skimp. Request a golf course view room because that makes all the difference to me in having that view looking out over the golf course. It's very, very cool. And you see part of the town and, you know, you see off toward the water and it's great.
Good tip. All right, let's move away from Scotland. Let's go to the desert. You and I have talked a lot about Mountain Shadows in Arizona, in the Phoenix area, Scottsdale. And the last episode, we mentioned it a bunch because of the food that we found there. Also, back in episode 111, we talked a lot about it because both of us played the short course. We have talked a lot about this particular spot, so let's just hit it quickly. When I was there, I did not get to actually stay. I was staying at a condo with friends and my wife and did not stay at Mountain Shadows, but tell us why it left such an imprint on you.
Oh, it's just pure modern luxury. I mean, but it still feels like a throwback to the old desert resorts. We talk about the sister course, Hotel Valley Ho, which I also love, and both of these just achieve something that you don't get from most modern new resorts. You just get this old feel. And a lot of that is just because of the clever kind of mid-century modern design that they've put into building all the details of these properties. Of course, you and I love it for the short course designed by Forrest Richardson. But overall, it's just a property that makes you relax and have fun. It's framed by the mountains. It's perfectly designed rooms. The pool area is also perfectly designed. No detail is left behind at this property. And like you said, it's just, it's so much fun. And I don't know if it's just the lodging experience. It's hard to choose between Mountain Shadows and Hotel Valley Ho. But I think for golfers, Mountain Shadows obviously gets the edge because of the short course and all the fun features they built into that course. And the fact that the course is right there, walking distance. You basically walk out of your room over to the pro shop and can play. 18-hole short courses, especially good ones, are hard to come by. So it really just makes Mountain Shadows, in my opinion, one of the premium kind of stay-and-play options for golfers in the Phoenix Scottsdale area. Actually, in Paradise Valley, to be exact.
To be more precise.
Yes.
All right. Yeah, that's a good point. And I like what you said, because if you can walk out, and there's so many great golf courses in that area, but if you can just walk out of the place you're staying and have the kind of short course that's at Mountain Shadows right there to take advantage of, heaven. All right, let's move a little ways over to Utah. You took a buddy trip up there. Utah, of course, the home to golf photographer extraordinaire Brian Orr.
Drink.
In my case, Aberfeldy. All right, there you go, Brian. And we've talked before about Sand Hollow Golf Resort. I have yet to go, and I'm really disappointed that you haven't found a way to drag me there.
Well, we'll find a way sometime. I mean, Brian's having people out there all the time. Brian runs the occasional media trip out there because of his golfpackagepros.com business that is actually anchored in St. George, Utah. But Sand Hollow is really growing into an impressive resort. There's an 18-hole championship course. It's got a dramatic back nine routing along the Virgin River Gorge. It's got an incredibly fun 9-hole links course, the new clubhouse, spacious restaurant, sweeping course views out the large windows. It's just, they're doing everything right. And they want to be a major player in the golf travel world. So, you know, they just need more golfers to hear about what St. George is, what a great place it is, and how much golf there really is. And then just as an overall travel destination, it's unbelievable. It's got picturesque state parks and national parks to explore just minutes away. It's really, really great.
Well, we know there's a lot of golf in that area. And if you look at Brian Orr's pictures of Sand Hollow in the St. George area, they are spectacular. But you stayed at the championship suites they've built, which are really great, not just for small groups, but for big golf groups.
Yeah, they've added in a lot of lodging. I don't know if it's considered, if there's considered condos, but the top floor suites in these are perfect for big golf groups. I think the one we stayed in could sleep 10 if we wanted to. We had four guys. We were in it very comfortably. There's all kinds of space for days, as they say, in these things. It's close to the clubhouse. It has views of the golf course. It's got a nearby pool area. When we were there, there was some kind of high school gathering taking up some of the rooms, and the kids were all having a blast in the evening out by the pools. Brian and Golf Package Pros books out at Sand Hollow, so golfers who are looking for a stunning high desert experience and very reasonable pricing in St. George should think about this area for their 2019 golf getaways.
Yep, sounds great.
And he didn't even pay us to say that.
He didn't.
Although he probably should.
Which we'll talk to him about. I'll send somebody out to talk to him. That way we'll be, I know people. You know, even in St. George, I know people. All right. Finally for you.
Right. This would be my 9th, but you're going to have the bonus lodging.
I'm coming with a big one. Looking at your social media this summer, you and Eric Hart were traveling. We've talked about that. And his son, Dylan, who's the real star of that threesome.
No doubt.
You were together in Ontario, Canada. It seemed like there's a place called Big Win Island, and it's very private, but it seems like one of the cooler experiences that anyone can have. I loved looking at these pictures and seeing the stories on Instagram. It's also accessible to non-club members if they stay at the Port Cunnington Lodge on the lake. Tell us about it.
Yes, exactly. On the Lake of Bays, as it is called, Big Win Island is sublime. It's the golf course is an extremely playable Doug Carrick design that I believe our good friend Ian Andrew also worked on. It's accessible only by water taxi or boat, as we would call it. And pretty much the only way to play it for non-club members is by staying at the Port Cunnington Lodge, where the history dates back to 1890, making it one of the oldest Ontario resorts in Muskoka, operating under its original name. Like I said, it's on the shores of the Lake of Bays. It really feels like one of those idyllic camps that you'd see in the movies. Or like you and I were just talking about, there's a handful of scenes in The Fabulous or The Marvelous Miss Maisel that makes me think of Port Cunnington Lodge. Mm-hmm. It's got everything you want. It's got kayaking and boating and swimming and giant trampolines in the lake for kids to play on. It's got game rooms for both kids and adults. It's got breakfast buffets that are outstanding, and the casual fine dining room dinners are perfect. Really, like I said, it has everything. And instead of being a traditional hotel, the accommodations are all houses and cottages, so that gives it a much more spacious feel.
So it's not, you don't have this one big building. You've got all these places that are kind of spread out.
Exactly. Correct.
That sounds pretty great.
Yeah, it was awesome. And Eric and Dylan stayed in the boathouse, which is literally right over the water.
I'd be seasick while I'm sleeping.
Oh, man. It looked right out over the water. I stayed in a more kind of tiny house cottage called the Chickadee, which had a jacuzzi tub that helped out a lot after a long day of golf. And even if access to Big Win Island wasn't included, I think I'd find my way back to Port Cunnington Lodge just for kind of that feeling of relaxation. You know, it's hard to find that these days, Mitch. And I spent a couple of hours just sitting out in the lake, you know, just kind of vegging out and enjoying the weather and the water and everything about it.
Sounds fabulous. And especially as we're here at the year's end and beginning of 2019, what a perfect thing to think about for a trip during the spring, the summer, the fall. Sounds great.
Yep.
All right. So now you're going to let me talk about my, we'll call it a bonus, and it was a bonus.
And that's all for today's episode, folks. Oh, wait.
Why I oughta. I didn't do much traveling this year for a variety of reasons, but when I did, the one big trip that I took that lasted, you know, pretty much a week, was one of my favorite golf trips that I've ever taken, and that was to Upper Michigan. And it got to experience the joys of staying and playing at the Boyne Resort properties. And I, like a lot of people who are not from the upper Midwest, I was not Boyne. I had heard about it, but I was not really aware of what Boyne meant and means to the world of resorts, golf, skiing in this country. I mean, it is a huge deal for people who live up in that area. And once I got to go there, I understood why. We stayed, there are different places, but we stayed at two incredible spots. And those are my, those are the ones I want to focus on. There are many more, as I said. And if you just Google Boyne, you can figure out everything you need to know. But the first place we got to there are 10, part of the Boyne Resort deal is that there are 10 golf courses and 3 resorts. So we got to experience a couple of the resort areas. One was at Boyne Highlands. And the spot we stayed there, there's a golf course, one of them, and we'll in the upcoming podcast about new places we played, we'll be talking about the Boyne golf courses. But at the Donald Ross Memorial Course at the Highlands, we got to stay in the Ross Cottages. And this was special. I mean, big places with a lot of rooms and great restaurants are great. But if you have a group and you want to hang out and really spend some time with each other, this is the kind of place you want to stay. It's tucked off the fairway on the Donald Ross Memorial Course, which is fantastic. But the lodging itself, you're kind of back in the woods. So you wake up in the morning or you get there in the late afternoon after you play and you're just surrounded by these fabulous Michigan pines. The golf course is peeking through. You get up in the morning. We all know this. We all love this. You start your day kind of looking at that. And no matter which one of the 4 courses at the Highlands you'll be playing, that's kind of how you start the experience. So that's a fabulous spot. And the cottages, totally modern. They have everything you could want. I don't have to go into detail on it. Just imagine a great cottage experience and that's it. And then we moved kind of down the road a bit to the inn at Bay Harbor, which is near Petoskey. And this is kind of the other end of the spectrum, which is a mind-boggling hotel resort experience, award-winning. I could go into all the awards. But Bay Harbor is just there's very few places like it that I've experienced.
One of the things I wanted to ask you about the Inn at Bay Harbor, which I went to a couple of years ago, you stayed in like the tower suite, whereas we stayed kind of in the cottages that were off a little bit of ways from the main building. So we got, you know, the rare case where you and I went at different times and got completely different lodging experiences. And it's kind of an interesting compare and contrast because the tower suite sounds like it's pretty spectacular.
Well, you were talking about the presidential suite before, and I don't think the tower suite is El Presidente quality,
right.
But it is an absolutely incredible spot. You are obviously at the top of the tower, which is right next door to the really big Inn at Bay Harbor. But you're up there, and it has one of the most spectacular wraparound balconies. I mean, this place can accommodate up to 8 people. So you've got numerous bedrooms. You've got a full-size kitchen, huge living room, dining area, the whole deal. And there are, I'm trying to remember, but I think there's at least 3 doorways to get out to this wraparound balcony. And you literally have views. You're looking out over Little Traverse Bay, Lake Michigan beyond that. We had all these media people, you know, staying. There were 8 of us up there at the same time. And to hang out there and you look down, you see the pool area and the bar and people walking along the lake and the scenery. And if you're there at sunset, it's just, it's incredible. And this, the restaurants, there's a vintage chop house, there's a wine bar, the Sagamore Room, that overlooks the bay. It's pretty much self-contained, and you have everything that you could want there. You really can. You and I talked more about this, the whole Boyne experience and the golf, and there's plenty to talk about. We did that in episode 115 of Talking Golf Getaways. So if you want to learn more about the Highlands and Bay Harbor, go back and listen to that.
I know this episode is about places to stay and not about food. We obviously have covered that. Did you have an opportunity to eat at the Vintage Chop House? Because it's one of my regrets. We had such a whirlwind visit on our trip there. We were just there. We came in late one afternoon. We were there, you know, just for the evening and left fairly early the next morning. So I didn't get the chance to, but I went down there and checked it out and looked at the menu. And I thought, boy, I could eat a lot of things on this menu.
Yeah, we did. We just had drinks down there. We weren't able to have meals because our friend Kevin Frisch, they had set up a couple of dinners. One was at Boyne Mountain, and you know, we didn't have a chance to really just hang there for that. But as you said, you go in there, and it's the kind of place where you go, okay, I'm coming back to eat at the Chop House, because it's a full-blown, big-time experience.
Yeah,
I can tell you that.
And eat and drink and eat and drink and eat some more and drink some more type of experience.
Yeah. That's exactly right. Go outside, walk over to the pool, and fall in.
And then,
pretty much.
And then fall into the lake.
Yeah, and right. And hope that your friends pull you out so you can go play some more golf. All right. Well, that has been a wonderful trip through 9 very cool places to stay. Hopefully, that's gotten your golf travel itinerary building juices flowing for 2019. We're going to have full pods on many of the destinations we've talked about in the coming year. And as always, we're available on social media to answer any and all of your golf travel questions that you might have. Hit us up on Twitter and Instagram.
And don't forget to rate us on iTunes. Plus, if you'd be so kind, help support our efforts by visiting and exploring the website at golfnewsnet.com. That's how we make our money and can afford to keep bringing you what we hope is the best in golf travel coverage.
That's right. And as we said, look for our sister site, which we'll be sharing with you soon. Thanks for listening. Thanks, Darren. Always fun. It really does make both of us, I think, realize how lucky we are. And I know everybody out there who gets to travel and play golf feels the same way. So let's all keep on doing it. Let's keep living the dream. Darren certainly did that last year. I did too. Now you go out there, run down your own dream in 2019. So long.